This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
It is a Thanksgiving weekend edition of the Garden Hotline. I'm Scott Jagow, happy to be joined by Michelle Reeser-West, who is with Pointer Landscaping. Michelle, thanks for coming back.
Yeah, no problem.
We didn't scare you off.
No, I was excited to be invited back, so thank you.
Yeah, we had a good response to when you were here earlier, so it's nice to have you back to answer some questions from the listeners who can call in. A couple of numbers. We have a 1-800 number, and you do have to dial the 1. It's 1-800-925-1120. And then the local number that most people use is 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. We will begin taking your calls immediately. So if you've got a question about something you're thinking about for the winter or, you know, heading into spring, we will get the discussion started a little bit with Christmas trees, Michelle.
Woohoo, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people bought a tree yesterday or maybe today. What can you tell us in terms of Christmas trees from your perspective?
Well, I haven't bought mine yet. Was planning on going out today, but hopefully the snow won't ruin that. But really, there's a lot of types to choose from. So it's really personal preference and kind of what aesthetic you're going for in your house. I think some people have their favorite types. I always tend to get a balsam fir. That's the kind that I prefer, but there's lots of types out there and lots of places that you can buy your Christmas tree. Today is Small Business Saturday, so there's a lot of local nurseries, local tree shops that have, you know, their stands set up. So it's a great way to support a local business or local farmer. And also get your Christmas on.
Now, since you're in landscaping, yeah, everybody gets their tree, they put it in their house. But what about afterwards, after the tree has served its purpose of being a decorative item for the Christmas season, for the holidays? What then?
Well, I think there's a couple things you can do. There's yard waste collection days that your city has. I know in the city of St. Louis, you can drop your tree off. There's a couple of locations. I'm sure you can look up at ones down in Forest Park. But I think one of the most ecologically friendly options is to find some place that donates or takes donated Christmas trees, and they will drop them in a lake, and fish and other things will use them as a habitat.
Wait, drop them in a lake?
Yeah, they will just drop a load of trees, but and they sink down, and the fish will kind of swim around and use them to as a habitat. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and there's cool. also a local farm. I can't remember the name of it right now. They take donated Christmas trees and they feed them to their goats. They make goat cheese and things like that.
Oh my
so
gosh.
I guess it's a tasty treat for the goats.
Now, can you use them in some sort of landscaping at your house?
Yeah, I mean, if they're dead, if they've been cut off at the ground, obviously you can't replant those. But a lot of people will do that. They'll buy a tree that's in a pot, which you could buy at most landscape companies. But I've done it before. You just, you know, put it in, keep it in the pot and plant it after the fact. As long as the ground's not frozen, it's a great way to reuse that tree.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's one option. You can drop it in a lake.
Yeah.
You can feed it to the goats.
That's right. There's a lot of things.
I had no idea. All right. Let's start with the calls. 314-436-7900. What's your question, Bill, for Michelle?
Hi. You know, in the spring when you fertilize, you know, smaller woody shrubs and trees and so forth, I'm always in a quandary about how much fertilizer to use, you know, like, say you got granulated 12-12-12 or whatever. I mean, how do you really come up with a quantity to throw around the bush or whatever?
So the best thing that you should do is take a soil sample. Not everything needs to be fertilized every year, and it's hard to kind of determine that without taking a sample. Which is pretty easy to do and should be done every couple of years, 2 to 3 years. If you go out in your garden, kind of pull back any mulch, or if you're doing it for your lawn, you can pull back some of that grass to get down to the soil underneath, several inches down below the ground, and take a couple collections from a couple different locations throughout your garden beds or throughout your lawn, and you kind of mix it together, and you can take it to the local extension office, University of Missouri Extension Office, and they'll do an analysis on your soil, and they will send you back a report within a couple weeks that will tell you. You can pick that, you know, it's a turf area, or it's a bed with roses, or it's a bed with a specific kind of plant, and they will send you back a report that tells you things like your pH and what kind of nutrition that your soil might need. They'll give you kind of the exact amount and some instructions on how much you should fertilize for whatever you specified on your form that you filled out. The other thing that you can kind of look for if you don't go the soil route area is to just kind of look and see, you know, are my plants struggling? Do they look healthy? Do my plants need it? Most of the time in our maintenance department at Pointer, we don't like to fertilize everything, especially if it doesn't need it. It's a waste of money and resources and time. But things like azaleas that don't always do well here long term in St. Louis, and like an acidic soil, those tend to be something that we fertilize every season. A lot of evergreens like boxwoods, we fertilize in the spring and the fall. But the best thing that you can do is get a soil test so you know for sure how much you need and what type of fertilizer that you need.
So that analysis does talk about the quantity?
Yeah, it'll tell you. Yeah, if you need something, if you need to amend your soil in some way, it will tell you what they recommend and how much you should use.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Bill. Very good question. That's a good topic.
Yeah.
Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping is here to answer your questions this morning on the Garden Hotline, and that number is 314-436-7900. We'll get to more of your questions coming up. Stay tuned. This is the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
No fights, just insights. Talking politics with respect for all. KMOX, your connection to St. Louis and the region.
Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow, joined today by Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. She's been on the show one time before. We had a good response, and she has done an excellent job answering people's questions. So if you have a question, you know, it's one of those times of the year where, you know, it's not gardening being a hot topic all the time, but it is a year-round thing, so
yeah.
There are things to talk about. The number to call is 314-436-7900. We will get to your phone calls here in a minute. Bulbs, planting bulbs at this time of year. What kinds of bulbs are you planting, and is that for early spring or mid-spring or what?
Yep, that's right. We have been, the last couple of weeks, installing our bulbs, so fall-planted bulbs for flowers in the spring, and we're talking things like tulips and daffodils, alliums. You know, there's all kinds of bulbs that you can plant now. We're kind of nearing the end of when you should be planting them, but, you know, we're kind of a little bit behind schedule with the crazy weather that we had this fall with the warmer temperatures, but there's still plenty of time to be putting in your bulbs for the spring. So I would get out there. Again, it's Small Business Saturday, so you can hit up your local nurseries and pick up some bulbs. And maybe while you're hanging your Christmas lights, you can get your little auger out or a little shovel and throw some bulbs in, and you'll have a little pleasant surprise in the spring when they pop up.
Well, we are expecting snow today. How does that affect things?
Well, you might lose your trowel in the snow, I guess, if you're doing it out there today. I suspect you just need to wait until the snow melts. So maybe today's not a great day for bulb planting, but it is a good day for purchasing. I think as soon as that snow melts and as long as the ground itself isn't frozen, it would be a great time for planting bulbs.
How about winter containers? What should people think about in terms of those?
Man, we are doing a lot of those right now. It's a great way to, you know, you've taken your annuals out from the summer, or your mums are done, Thanksgiving's over, so you have these empty pots on your porch, and one of the great things that you can do is use some fresh cuttings of evergreens, like boxwood or spruce or pines. And we also use things like magnolia leaves or branches from a magnolia tree. Anything that you can cut that looks good in your yard that's evergreen or keeps their leaves, we just take little cuttings and kind of like a display that a florist might do in a vase, you can do that in your pot. And the great thing about it is that it's very low maintenance. You don't have to water, you don't have to do anything to it, but it kind of spruces up your porch with some Christmas type or winter type decor. It doesn't have to be Christmas.
All right, let's get back to the phone calls. The number is 314-436-7900. Mary, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking this call. I have a very weird request. I have an area that I can't grow anything in because it's always all shade, and it's there's nothing there but dust. I have finally decided maybe to try growing moss. So my question is, if I should find a vendor on the internet that would sell moss, is there any brand or any variety that might grow best?
That is an excellent question. I have to say, I'm not a big expert on moss. I love the idea of it. I've actually contemplated putting it in a few areas of my own yard. But I do know that Greenscape will have it for sale. I don't know the varieties. Like I said, I'm not, I don't know a lot about the different types of mosses, but I have seen it at Greenscape Gardens in the spring. I've seen a couple different kinds that they have for sale there. But I think that there probably are a few places around town. Other than that, if you look around or make a few phone calls, if you want to get it locally, I know you can buy it on the internet. I'm sure you can find a website that you can purchase it, but yeah, I think it is available. I've also heard of other people harvesting it from like natural areas and then putting it in their yard. But yeah, I think that's a great idea. It's something that I would love to try, and I hope that it works out for you. But yeah, I think you can definitely purchase it here locally in the spring.
Well, that's good. Thank you. Now, may I ask another question?
Sure.
Well, with this cold snap, I'm aggravated with myself because I did not collect my marigold seeds because the marigolds were blooming for such a long time. Now that it's frozen, all those blossoms or whatever else is on the little plant, what are the chances of seeds being viable in the spring after they've been frozen like that?
I don't think you should have a problem. I think you could still go out there and pop the heads off and let them dry out, and the seeds should be fine.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, and so I do enjoy this program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in, Mary, at 314-436-7900. Since you brought up your yard, tell me a little bit about it.
Man, my yard's kind of a hot mess. Everybody always asks that, you know, like, because I'm a horticulturist, they just think that my yard is spectacular, and it's getting there. I don't want to talk bad about it, but I bought my house during COVID, and it was I just kind of ripped everything out. One of the things, you know, getting stuck at your house, looking at all the stuff, I ripped almost everything out. I kept a couple of trees, and I've slowly been kind of building it back up. But it's kind of a wild mess. I prefer a more naturalistic planting. I like natives. I like to grow my own cut flowers from seeds so I can, you know, make arrangements. And I have a crazy, I always have a, you know, like my eyes are bigger than my stomach kind of moment where, you know, in the wintertime, the seed catalogs, they're actually coming in now. The seed catalogs start coming in the mail. And I have all of these great ideas of what I'm going to plant in my veggie garden and what I'm going to put in my cut flower garden. And I start so many seeds and I start out strong. I have so many, you know, ambitions in the wintertime when I'm not doing much else. And then spring rolls around and all those seedlings are popping up and things kind of get out of control pretty quickly. And it's sometimes the last thing that I want to do when I get home. I've been in other people's gardens,
yeah, exactly,
talking about plants all day long. And one of the last things that I want to do when I get home is rake leaves or plant something or weeds. My goodness, the weeds are, it's the worst part. But yeah, it's definitely getting there. So it's always, I think gardening is one of the things I like about gardening is that it's always kind of a work in progress. It never ends. So yeah, it's getting there, we'll say.
Yeah, and I think if you're a chef, I mean, it's a good question. Do you really want to cook when you get home if you're cooking all day long? It's, yeah, kind of the same idea.
Yeah, for sure. It's you know, it's a great thing. I get to play with plants. It's a passion of mine. It's been a passion of mine my whole life. But it is kind of the downside of it is once you do it for 8 hours a day, coming home to do more of it is not always the best. But you know, it is, it's for a lot of people, I think gardening is a little like meditation or therapy for them. It's a way to get exercise, and it's the same for me, getting out in my garden when I can, you know, even if I'm just watering the annuals or deadheading a few plants. Like getting outside and being in my garden when I can definitely is good for the soul for me anyway.
Do you live in an area where you have quite a bit of land, or are you a city dweller? What's your setup?
So I am in St. Charles. I have, I think it's like 3/4 acre. It's a decent size residential yard, but I, you know, I spent a lot of time in South City, spent almost 20 years in South City. So I had a tiny little plot of land that I, you know, just tried to cram as much stuff in there, but now it's kind of dangerous how much room I have and how many plants I can bring home. And that's kind of the problem, you know, in working in this industry, there's plants around me all the time, whether I'm out buying plants for a client or we're doing an install. So many people are getting rid of plants. We take good, healthy plants out to put a new design in. And I often think to myself, that might look good at my house. So I've kind of got a little, you know, it's like the plant graveyard almost. It's anything that I can get my hands on comes home to my house. So it's you have to have some restraint.
I would imagine, now that you mentioned you lived in South City, I would think there would be a challenge, a good challenge in a positive way, when you have a small area to landscape versus having a huge yard where, you know, there's a lot of room for error maybe, and there's not so much with a small city house.
Yeah, yes and no. I think that it's really challenging sometimes because of the space, and you know, when you buy these plants, they're little. And just like everything else that's alive, they get bigger, right? So it's kind of deceptive when you buy a little plant that's 3 foot tall that eventually is going to, you know, could potentially get 30 or 40 feet tall and wide. And when you have a tiny little stamp of a yard in South City, that could be, you know, a little dangerous over time. But, you know, it's one of the things about design that I like is that creativity and having to think about, you know, what space do I have? What are the light requirements? What are these plants going to look like in 5, 10, 15, 20 years? And, you know, you get to be a little bit more creative when you have a smaller space. Or you can use, you know, different structures and use things vertically instead of horizontally. You could build a trellis or use a trellis to have a vine or something growing upwards as opposed to something that's going to get really big and tall and wide. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting, you know, puzzle to figure out.
Well, I can ask questions all morning, but sure. The whole idea of this show is to get people to call in and ask questions. So the number is 314-436-7900. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. We're talking with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, and she is going to answer your questions coming up in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Bernie Miklas gets the final word during sports on a Sunday morning. Hear what he has to say on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX this Saturday morning. Cloudy skies, expecting some snow to come, maybe 2 to 4 inches. Michelle Reeser-West is here from Pointer Landscaping to answer your questions. And the number to get on the phone and call us and ask yours is 314-436-7900. We're going to go back to the phones now with Joanne. You're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hey, good morning. Over the summer, I ordered an olive tree called a tea olive, and I thought it was supposed to be okay outside. Bottom line is I've never planted it. It's in the pot. It's in a partial sun shade area. It's doing very well. And actually, I just went out there to see what kind of olive tree it was, and it said tea olive. And it has like little white, I don't know, almost like flowers on it. So my question is it too late to put it in the ground? Should I bring it like into the house, or should I maybe put it in the garage? Like I have a big fig tree, and I just put it into the garage and let it winter there where it's not quite as bad. Any suggestions?
I am not familiar specifically with the tea olive, but I know that a lot of our olives that we have that I use are not winter hardy here in St. Louis. So if you go back and check that tag, if you still have the tag, you can kind of look at what hardiness zone it's good for. We are in zone 6A or, you know, 7, depending on where you are. But look and see if we're within that hardiness zone. It should have, you know, like a number range on there. If you are within, if it is in our zone where it's hardy, then you can absolutely still plant it. If not, I would definitely bring it inside, bring it into the garage or somewhere where it's not going to freeze. But definitely check that tag. I think that's going to be the best way to determine if you should plant it outside or not.
Well, I mean, I said I bought it to be planted outside, but the issue is I just never got around to planting it. So I was just like, is it getting kind of late? Am I just going to, you know, anyway. Okay. All right. I will do that.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thanks for calling in, Joanne. The number is 314-436-7900. Up next, let's hear from Catherine. What is your question for Michelle?
Okay. There's a big push in my community to leave the leaves and on flower beds, not on the lawn. But my question is when do you pull them off? There's nothing about spraying because I need to mulch because of the topography of my yard. So when do I blow all those leaves out and put my mulch down?
Great question. Leave the leaves is definitely something that people are pushing a lot of. I do that in my yard. I know that a lot of neighbors don't like whenever you leave your leaves everywhere, but a great thing to do is like you said, maybe either mulch them with your lawnmower in the turf or clean them up off of the lawn and leave them in the flower beds. But it's a great place for our little critters to overwinter and gives them, you know, a place for, you know, them to, there's a lot of eggs on the bottom of leaves that overwinter, you know, mice and other critters might overwinter in that leaf litter. So leaving them is a great option to help out environmentally. But, you know, I will try to leave my leaves as long as possible. And sometimes, you know, depending on the type of leaf, I might leave it there indefinitely because it will break down over time and it will become like a mulch of sorts. But I think really once things start waking up in the spring, once we get above a freezing temperature, think about the reason why we're leaving those leaves is because of the critters that are in the leaves. So, you know, when are those eggs hatching or when are the critters leaving the protection of those leaves? So really, I think it's as long as you can is my answer. But I would at least try to wait until things start warming up a bit.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and you have a good day.
You too.
Thanks for calling in, Catherine. Up next, we go to Monica. You're on the Garden Hotline with Michelle.
Yes, I need to know where I can purchase Pink Lady or Naked Lady bulbs. It's something like the Surprise Lily that comes up in the fall. In August 1st, you'll see them come up.
Yeah, those are great. I just saw them for sale. I can't remember where, but they are a very common bulb to be planting. So I would check with, you know, your local nurseries, someplace that sells a lot of bulbs. I don't think it's a common one for our big box stores like Lowe's or Home Depot, but it's definitely one that your local nursery should stock. There's also a ton of online resources for ordering bulbs. So if you can't find them locally, there's a lot of great websites that you can look into.
Thank you.
Sure.
Good question from Monica. The number is 314-436-7900 to ask your question of Michelle. What are some of the trends in landscaping right now? What are people digging?
Oh, there's a lot of things that people are digging. It is, you know, there's a lot of like hot things like, you know, natives are really big right now. I'm a big fan of the natives, but a lot of people are getting into, you know, things that can help our environment or things that are you know, native to Missouri or native to the United States. A lot of people are getting into organic products. You know, that's a big thing, not just at the grocery store, but using products in our landscape that are more organic, that are more friendly to the earth or our children or our pets. So that's been a big thing for us to try to shift towards using as many products as we can that are organic. So that's a big thing that people are looking for.
So those are some of the trends right now that...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's always trends in different types of plants, like those come and go. There's the tried and true types of plants, but there's so many different kinds of cultivars and new types of plants coming out, or a new color or a dwarf variety. So those things change from year to year and to varying degrees of success. But there's always something kind of new popping up in the spring at the nurseries. I tend to try to stick to things that I know are like the tough plants, the tried and true plants that aren't necessarily the latest cultivar. You know, I might plant one or two of those, but we don't always know how those new plants are going to do. So we'll pick a few new plants every year to kind of trial around and see how they do. But a lot of times we just try to stick to the ones that we know are good. Mobot actually used to do a plant of merit program. I'm not sure if they do still do that or not, but the Missouri Botanical Garden would pick a plant every year that was, you know, a plant that we know to be a good, solid, quality plant. So that list is still available. I'm not sure if they're still picking new plants, but that's a good place to kind of to look at what is the tried and true, the ones that really do well for us here in St. Louis. But I try not to be super trendy. you know, like it always comes and goes. There's a ton of different things. But natives is a big one that I do. I do support that trend. I hope that more people get into that for sure.
Michelle Reeser-West, she's from Pointer Landscaping, and she's answering your questions this morning on The Garden Hotline, a show that's been on the air for more than 30 years. I'll give an update on Mike Miller after the break, and we'll get to your questions at 314-436-7900. Stay tuned on KMOX.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I'm Scott Jagow, and I'm glad to be joined by Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, answering your questions at 314-436-7900. Do want to give a quick update on Mike. He posted on his GoFundMe page a few days ago before Thanksgiving about Veterans Day and Thanksgiving. He said he spent 4 years in the Air Force, and it was an important time in his life. Now he sits back and watches the deciduous trees go into hibernation and evergreens come front and center, standing at attention. He says, have fun and thank you for your help and support. Good gardening and tip of the trowel. That is the latest note from Mike Miller. And his page on GoFundMe is called Mike's Epilepsy. He is still struggling with issues related to that. He's had some surgeries. He's been in rehab. They're still a little short of their fundraising goal. They have a lot of bills to pay. So if you want to participate in that, it is Mike's Epilepsy on GoFundMe. Let's continue with the phone calls. Bill, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Yeah, I have a buckeye that is about 3 years old. And, of course, I guess it's slow growing. It's not growing very fast. But it still has it dropped its leaves, and now it's got buds. Is there anything I should do this winter to really help it other than mulch around it?
I doubt it. I mean, like I said, we said with a previous caller, I don't always recommend fertilizing or things like that unless it's needed. So they can take a few years or several years to kind of get rooted in and really take off, sometimes as much as 3 to 5 years. Buckeyes are not like a really fast-growing tree, so it could take some time. But if going into the fall, if the leaves still looked really good and, you know, it seems like it's got a lot of buds set on it for next year, then I doubt you need to do anything. But, you know, I do always recommend those soil tests, so that would tell you for sure.
Yeah, and then I have a willow tree that people gave up years ago on because half the trunk is gone. But is there anything I should do to protect it? It seems like it's still going.
Again, I think most trees that are within our hardiness zone shouldn't need a ton going into winter. So I think keeping it watered is a big deal. I know that right now we aren't having any drought issues, but we were a few weeks ago. So trees still need a little bit of water through the winter. So if we do go back into a dry time, I would keep my eye on that. But other than that, I think you should be good.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill, for calling in and asking your question. Up next, we have George. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. Hey, I've got a coral honeysuckle vine that's growing up a trellis. It's been in the ground maybe 12, 15 years. In the last couple of years, it hasn't really had as many blooms as an earlier, you know, older plant. In the spring, I usually give it a decent pruning, but I don't take it down too far. Do you think giving it a hard prune in the spring would maybe rejuvenate it?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of plants, especially vining type plants, do need to have some thinning and a harder cut back every several years. You know, you said it's, you know, 10 or 15 years old. So it probably, if you haven't done a big cutback on it, that might help promote some new growth and some new blooms. The other thing to think about is, you know, as you're doing that, thinning out any dead wood, thinning out any unhealthy branches, thinning out just for air circulation. Anytime you have something like a vine or something that is an aggressive grower or kind of gets overgrown over time, it's good to try to thin some of that out so you can have a little bit more light getting in there, a little bit more air circulation. That'll be good for, you know, new growth, and it's also good for preventing any pest and disease issues. So definitely, I think that could be a great option for you in the spring.
Okay, then the next question, I guess, is how far down would I take it, you know?
I mean, depending on your trellis, we typically say, you know, there's a rule of thirds in pruning that you don't necessarily want to take more than a third of the plant. But that kind of changes things when you think about a rejuvenation pruning or a harder cutback. Every few years, you can kind of go a little bit more than that. Without seeing it, it would be hard for me to kind of tell you how far back to go. If it's on a trellis or if it's on some kind of structure, I would probably go back a few inches away from whatever that structure is.
Yeah, it's on like a wire trellis, and it's, you know, maybe 5 foot, 6 foot wide, and it's probably about 7 or 8 feet tall.
Yeah, I would just get it close to that structure. I think that's it's a great place to start.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what type of fertilizer does that take? Do you know?
Really, again, we've been talking a lot about fertilizers today. I think just your basic, there's, you know, tree and shrub fertilizers or just your basic fertilizer. I don't think that honeysuckle needs anything specific, but again, it might not need it at all, so test your soil.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Thanks.
All right, thank you for calling in, George. Michelle Reeser-West is our guest this morning. She is answering your questions at 314-436-7900. She works for Pointer Landscaping, has a lot of experience at a horticulturalist, and can talk about just about anything related to gardening and landscaping. So get your questions in. We're going to have a whole nother hour of the Garden Hotline coming up. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
And our guest today is Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. This is her second visit to the Garden Hotline. Taking your questions, that's the whole idea of this program. It is at your service, and the number to call to get in is 314-436-7900. Don has been waiting patiently, and he is up next.
Yeah, thank you very much. My question is about some fertilizer that I found in my father's garage. He probably bought it 5 years ago. The bags have not been punctured or broken. Can I use that, or is it expired, and how do I dispose of it?
Well, that's a great question. I think that they're probably, if it's only, you know, 5 years old, it's still in the bag, it's probably okay to use. If you were to dispose of it, I think that is probably considered a hazardous waste. If you live within the city of St. Louis, they do have a drop off for hazardous waste. But I honestly think it should be fine. I think there is a shelf life to them, but 5 years in the bag, it's probably okay for you to use it.
Okay, I'm a county resident, South County. Where would I dispose of hazardous waste such as the fertilizer?
I believe St. Louis County and city residents have a few facilities to look for. I believe this the city location you can drop off if you're a county resident. But I would go to stlouiscounty.com and or whatever it is, and just look and see what you would do with hazardous material. I think that should be on their website.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Don. We appreciate the call at 314-436-7900. Bob, you're up next on the Garden Hotline for Michelle.
Thank you. Hello.
Yep, go ahead.
We planted some flowering shrubs and trees in the last month or so, and watered them for a few days right afterwards, and I'm wondering what we should be doing with them at this time to keep them going, particularly when it's so cold.
I don't think there is a ton for you to do with the new plantings other than keeping your eye on that watering. They're kind of going or have already gone dormant for the year, so there's not a lot you can do for them, and they don't need a lot either. So just make sure you have that mulch around the base if you didn't already do so at the time of planting, and keep them watered. And really, you're just looking, we're getting some natural precipitation, and we've gotten a lot of rain recently, so most of the time our natural rainfall and snow is enough to keep your new plants healthy. But if we go through, a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks of no rain, you might have to take a pitcher of water out and give them a drink. But they should be fine going through the winter.
Okay, good to hear. A couple of them have blooms on them, and we're just wondering, a couple of azaleas, I think. So we wanted to have them healthy for next year.
Yeah, and the azaleas are, a lot of them around town are oddly blooming again. It's just that prolonged warmth that we had in our area, so it shouldn't affect anything. You may have a couple fewer blooms in the spring because those buds pushed out this fall, but everything should be fine if you just keep it watered.
Thank you very much. Always enjoy your show.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate the phone call this morning. 314-436-7900. Watering, you bring that up, Michelle. What is sort of the philosophy over the winter in terms of watering?
It's really pretty simple. Everything outside naturally gets rain, snow, sleet. So as long as we have an average snowfall or rainfall during the winter, there's not a lot that we need to do. Our main concern this year was the drought that we were in earlier this fall. Everybody had started shutting down their irrigation systems, and it was still really hot and dry, but it seems like we are in a more normal weather pattern right now. So watering is hopefully going to remain a non-issue through the winter, because nobody likes to drag a bucket of water out when it's cold out to water their plants. So established plants should be fine. It's really the newer planted things that don't have their root systems quite as established yet that may need a little help getting through the winter.
Okay, Mary is up next on the Garden Hotline. Your question for Michelle.
Good morning. I got an email from a local nursery about a white petunia that is glow-in-the-dark. It sounds fantastic. It's also $35. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know a lot about them. I've been seeing them a lot of places. It's kind of a new thing that's out there. I think you should go buy it and see how it is. I haven't purchased one yet, but I think just for the novelty of it, it might be a fun little project to see what it's like. I haven't seen them in real life. I've seen them, around on the internet and in a couple of magazines. But yeah, I think, all those things like that are always, we kind of talked about it a little earlier. There's always a bunch of new plants coming out, and they have varying degrees of success. But for me, those types of things are kind of like a fun little novelty that I just keep an open mind with. It may do well, it may not. And, I don't know how much glow in the dark it's actually going to do. So I think it would be just something that you keep an open mind about and maybe not be too disappointed if it's not, what is advertised. But I think it's worth it's like a little science experiment. I think you should totally get one.
I said to keep it in a pot and you could, as a house plant. Mm-hmm. So would you not put it in a container? Would you keep it in its own pot in a container to bring it inside then over winter?
Yeah, I think it depends on what kind of pot it comes in. If it's just in a little grow pot, I think I would definitely, put it in a bigger pot, bringing it inside, or a pot that's suitable for inside use, and, maybe put it in a different pot when you take it back outside in the spring or plant it in the ground. But I think if it's just in a little grow pot, I would definitely change it out.
Great. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you and good luck, Mary. Thanks for calling in to the Garden Hotline. The number is 314-436-7900. Michelle Reeser West from Pointer Landscaping is here answering your questions. We will get to more of them on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
In the know, on the go. Trust KMOX for local news that impacts St. Louis and the region. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow, joined by Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, taking your phone calls at your service on this Saturday, well, snowy Saturday morning. 314-436-7900 is the number. Let's get back to the phone calls with Gloria. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, last year I lost some of my plants outside. Should I cover them up this year where they want? Because one of them I had to pay $100 to get it back where like I wanted, and I just wanted to know.
Typically, we do not. If they are hardy to our area, we don't recommend covering the plants at this time of year. They're going dormant. I suspect if they didn't make it over the winter last year, it probably had something to do with watering. We did have several areas or times of drought throughout last winter. So we lost a lot of plants this spring. They just didn't come through the winter dormancy. But typically, we don't recommend covering. The only time we cover is really if we're having like a frost and you have, you know, some tender perennials or something that's blooming that you want to try to prolong. But when we're at this stage of the game and we're, you know, below freezing, we have snow out on the ground, covering isn't going to do too much for them.
Okay, I got a greenhouse. I can't put it in the greenhouse because it's in the ground. Can I put that cover off the greenhouse? I'm scared I'm going to lose that thing. I hope not.
What kind of plant is it?
It's that one I can't hardly pronounce. A Eunice? Is that what you pronounce it?
Is it Euonymus?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, those are typically pretty winter hardy for us. I really don't think you should need to cover it up. Just make sure it gets plenty of water through the winter, and it should be okay.
I can't water with snowing now, but you think I should keep it watered?
Well, just keep your eye on the water situation. Like we were talking about previously, most of the time these new plants will get enough water with snow and rainfall, but if we do get into a situation where we're not getting that or we have some prolonged periods of drought, kind of like we did in February of this past year. This year was one of the driest Februaries and the warmest Februaries on record. So a lot of plants didn't get any water during that time period, and that was really when they were struggling. So just, you know, natural rainfall is normally enough, but
okay. Now I understand. I'll do that when the weather's nice, you know, a little nice.
Yep.
I know people going to look at me like I'm crazy, but I don't care.
That's right. You got to keep those plants alive.
I want to save my plants. I put too much money in this yard.
That's right. They'll understand.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Gloria, for the phone call at 314-436-7900. Tom, you are next on the Garden Hotline.
Yes. I have a couple questions. One is I have trumpet vine growing in from my neighbor's yard, and I was wondering what would be a good structure for that to grow on.
Something strong. It is trumpet vine is kind of a prolific grower, and if it is allowed to get larger, the stems of the trunk can get quite large over time. So something, you know, pretty strong. I would, you know, do either like a metal structure, or if it's wooden, I wouldn't do like a flimsy wood. I would make sure you get some the stakes or the side rails on that trellis are strong enough to withhold some weight over time.
Okay. And the second question, not related, utility poles that have been, you know, stained or soaked with whatever they put in there. Is it safe to put bushes or grasses or flowers around that birds or insects or pollinators might go to?
I think it is. I mean, there are some chemicals on those utility poles, but we plant things around them all the time. Most of the time, I mean, it can, I think, leach out into the soil a little bit, like around the base, but it's not typically something that we see causing a lot of problems in our landscapes. I mean, we plant around so many utility poles or things like that to try to hide them or create a screen around it. And I don't see, I run the maintenance department. We're constantly, you know, working around those things. And I can't recall right now ever having a big problem with plant health around a utility pole.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks for the call, Tom. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Michelle, let me ask you a question about what you do as a landscaper. The art versus the science of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be some mixture there that you think about.
For sure. And that's kind of one of my favorite things about working in this industry, because I, you know, think that I do have a scientific brain, and I like learning all the nerdy things and the plant names and the things about bugs and pests and disease. But there is another side of it that's super creative, and you get to use a totally different side of your brain. And that's in design. It's also in pruning. It's kind of an art to pruning, where you have to kind of step back and good pruning, it looks like nobody's pruned at all. So it's just a totally different side of your brain that you get to use. And it's one of the things I love about my job.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, it sounds like one of those jobs where, you know, you're not sitting in an office, you're outdoors.
Yes, it's a lot of hard work. And thankfully, you know, when you're in it as long as I have been, I do less and less of the physical labor and more of the paperwork. But it is, you know, like part of it. It's why I think a lot of gardeners and landscapers do it, is that they love plants and they love being outside and they love working with their hands. And it's, you know, it's definitely a labor of love, because it is, some of the work is backbreaking, especially when you get into other aspects of landscaping, which, you know, includes hardscaping and lifting heavy boulders or pavers or things like that. You know, it can be some backbreaking work, but it's also, for me, it's totally worth it to see those finished projects.
That's what I was going to say, the end result. And it's not really the end result overall, because as you pointed out earlier, plants and trees take years to grow. So it looks one way when you're finished landscaping it, but then 5 years down the road, it looks something like something else.
For sure. And, you know, that part of it, the stewardship part, you know, it's one of the things that I like about, you know, where I'm at in my career now is running a maintenance department. You know, I get to see the big projects go in and the big designs, but I also get to see how the garden evolves over the years, and how, you know, we put these tiny plants in the first year, and within two or three seasons, it really comes alive, and we really get to see the intention of what that design is. And it's, you know, it's really great to be able to spend time on properties and see a garden evolve over the years and be a part of that and be a part of, you know, how the health of that and the look of it and curating what these gardens get to look like. It's a very rewarding career, I think.
I can imagine. The number is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. And up next, we get a question from Marie. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning. Good morning. I have a question about getting rid of old pesticides and fertilizers. My project this winter is to clear out this cabinet I have, and it's got all this old chemicals and things that are like 10, 15 years old, and some I have duplicates. And I want to get rid of it safely. And even some of the organic stuff, it looks like it's kind of congealing. And so I just want some tips, if you can have any, on the best way of disposing of these things.
So we in my field, we use a lot of product and a lot of different types of product. And we may have a little bit extra at the end of the day, or we may not use it throughout the season. We have to get rid of it. One of the ways that you can get rid of it is by using it, just off spraying a product, that if you can, you can't always do that. But the other way is you have to find a hazardous waste disposal site. And, we have some of those around that, most of the time they don't charge you if you're a resident. I know the city of St. Louis, I think we talked about this earlier, the city of St. Louis has a couple drop-off locations. I think you have to set an appointment, and you get so many pounds, you know, so they weigh it. And if it goes you know, under, then it's free. And if it goes over, they charge you. But all this information is available online. And I believe the St. Louis County residents can also drop off at the city facilities. But I would check with the county or whatever county you live in, whatever city you live in, on their website. They should have a section on what to do with hazardous waste.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in. The Garden Hotline on KMOX, 314-436-7900. We have a little under a half hour to go. So if you'd like to ask a question of Michelle, please go ahead and get on the line now, and we'll get to those questions straight after a short break.
If it's happening in sports, Bernie Miklas talks about it Tuesday and Thursday on the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow, joined by Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, answering your questions. This is part of our At Your Service deal on Saturday mornings. 314-436-7900 is the phone number to call in and ask your specific question about something that's been on your mind with your garden, with your backyard, with your front yard. Michelle, a lot this time of year, people are thinking about planting for the spring. What kind of tips do you give them?
Plan early, especially if you need a professional to be involved in the process. You know, this time of year right now is a great time to kind of write down what went well in your yard this year, what didn't go well. You know, are there things you want to move next season? Is there some transplanting you want to do? Is there some pruning that you don't want to forget about? So getting that plan together. And if you do have a project that you're wanting to do outside, especially, like I said, if it involves a professional company, right now is a great time to get that started. If you wait till spring to try to schedule something, especially if it's a bigger project, you're probably not going to get on the schedule with a landscape company. So if you're looking for design, if you're looking for something big, I would start planning it now for sure.
I mean, are you going to people's homes over the winter and doing things?
We are. Yeah. So we have our planting crew and our maintenance crews. They're kind of wrapping up now. So we do have some crews that won't work over the winter, but we have a lot of crews that are doing, you know, big projects like patios and swimming pools and outdoor kitchens and carpentry projects. So there's a lot that we save and do for over the winter. A lot of work that doesn't involve plants and landscaping. So a lot of that stuff is going on right now.
So you guys do all those things like pools?
For sure.
And, oh my goodness.
Yeah, we have some big projects. They're really cool to see.
I was going to say, outdoor kitchens, that's fun.
Yeah, and when I came to Pointer, I had just solely a horticulture background, and I was kind of just blown away by all of the other aspects of landscaping that I didn't know that much about. So it's just some incredible things that happen that our crews and our design build department can put together. It's it was something, like I said, I didn't know anything about it, and it's been really fun to get to learn about that side of things.
And how big is Pointer as a company?
So we have about 30 regular employees. So we're not huge, but it's a decent sized landscape company.
And is it a one-off, or is there a chain, or?
Nope, it's just one and only. Yep, we're in Baldwin, and we work all over the St. Louis metropolitan area. Pretty much, we kind of go wherever our clients request. But yeah, just a one-off. It's been around for 25, 30 years in St. Louis, and just a really great company.
And I assume Pointer is the person who founded it?
Yeah, Rich Pointer, he's actually no longer with the company. He kind of retired, but yeah, Rich Pointer was around, and that was the original ownership. But yep, still going strong after. I mean, it's a long time. It's a great, it's a really good company with a really great reputation, and they've just been around St. Louis for a really long time.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Pointer Landscaping, Michelle Reeser-West is our guest. 314-436-7900. We have about a little under 20 minutes to get your phone call in. Rita, you are up next on the Garden Hotline.
Yeah, I bought some daisies at the beginning of the summer. They were only about 5 inches tall, and I planted them in about a 12-inch square planter, and they are inside. They grew to be, one of them was an African daisy, which put out purple flowers, which are, it's really pretty, but it turned out to be like 2 feet tall. And the other one is a regular yellow daisy, and it did the same thing. But I have them in planters, and I don't know what exactly to do with them during the winter. I have them inside right now because they're not supposed to be outside under 30 degrees because then they would have a freeze, you know, problem. So I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing with them now, because I know they're supposed to be getting some sunlight. But could you give me some suggestions on how to take care of them during the winter?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be just like most other houseplants or any other plants. They're going to need some sunlight. You know, daisies tend to like a little bit more sunlight than some other houseplants do. So I would try to find the brightest spot that you can in your house.
Okay.
And then keeping them watered. I would recommend having them in a pot with drainage, some kind of drainage.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, keeping them watered, but not too overwatered. They don't want to be sitting in wet soil all the time. So keeping them watered, but letting it dry out a little bit in between waterings. And, you know, it sounds like they got pretty big. So if you so if you don't have that kind of room in your home for something that big, it's okay to kind of cut them back. They should have some foliage all the way down towards the soil line.
Okay.
You can cut them back to that basal foliage.
Okay. Yes, they are. They are very prolific.
Yeah. Just keep them trimmed up, water, and sunlight. Pretty simple.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks for the question, Rita. Up next, we have Kathy. Kathy, you are on the Garden Hotline.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I have these, I call them Christmas bulb. It's the armadillo plant. And I've been trying a couple years now. I get the green, leaving, you know, everything they tell me to do, but I never get the tubular. And I'm starting the new ones now, and they're coming up, but I don't see, you know, the flower stalk itself, the tube, you know, where actually the bulb would come up. So I was wondering what I'm doing wrong.
So are you talking about on the new bulbs or the ones from previous?
Previous ones.
Yeah, those can be hard. I don't think my mom gets them to rebloom all the time, and it kind of enrages me because I can never do it. And she
really
can, yes.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's doing anything that special to them. You know, like they send up that first bloom, and then they have all the rest of that green foliage. And you leave up the green foliage because it needs that to get photosynthesis, to get enough energy to send up that new flower.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think some people say that they need some time of, like, darkness, and I don't know enough about it to...
Well, I did all that. I did everything they said to do.
Yeah.
And it's now it's greenery, but I'm not seeing the actual...
Yeah. Most of the time when it's not flowering, it means it didn't produce enough energy to make that flower. So a sunny spot, make sure the leaves are, you know, like you leave those long green leaves on there long enough for them to get enough photosynthesis happening and enough energy to store to create that.
So what I did is they were still kind of green, so I took them. I didn't cut them off. I put them downstairs to die, you know, back.
Yep.
And then I cut them off. And then I took them out of the, you know, did take them out, put them in new soil, blah, blah. And they still, and I don't know, maybe fertilizing has something to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, you can fertilize a little bit, especially if it's not in a lot of soil. The other thing you can do is before you cut them back, you can wait till the leaves turn yellow. If you cut them back too soon, while they're still green, that could mean that they're not getting enough energy.
Oh, maybe so, that's what I did this year. Yep. Maybe they should have been more. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, well, try again.
Good luck.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
That's one of the things you said earlier about gardening is you live and you learn. You maybe this time of year you reflect.
Yes. They say that you don't really know a plant until you kill it three times. And I'm pretty good at killing plants. I'm really good outside, but all these indoor plants, like it's just, they come inside my house to die. So I'm just not good at it. It's definitely something that you have to, you know, have that time and energy to take care of the house plants. And I just, that's not the green thumb that I've inherited. So,
all right, Dave, you're up next on the Garden Hotline for Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle. I have a baby blue spruce newly planted 4 weeks ago. It's about 3.5-4 feet tall and very, very healthy. My question is, over winter watering, how often and how much? I guess how much would depend on whether we get a lot of moisture or not. But can you help me out there?
Yeah, so you definitely want to make sure that it's getting watered over the winter. It doesn't need a lot. I would say every 2 to 3 weeks, you should check it to see if it needs water. One of the ways that you can check it is to kind of go out there and physically pull back the mulch, look at the soil. How wet is the soil? If it's dry, you could give it a little bit of water. If it's wet, it probably doesn't need water. You hopefully won't have to do a lot of supplemental watering over the winter. Most of the time, you know, that natural rainfall will be enough. It just can't dry out. All of the evergreens hold their moisture in their needles over the winter. So if it dries out, especially if it dries out and it gets windy, it will lose that water that it's holding in its needles, and it could die, or it could affect the overall health. So every 2 to 3 weeks, and then depending on how big the tree is, just take like a pitcher of water out, or a 5 gallon bucket that's, you know, maybe a third of the way filled up, and you want to do slow watering. You don't want to dump it all on there at one time because it might run off. So just to slowly pour it out over that root ball and let it kind of soak in.
Thank you very much for your help.
Yeah, good luck.
Bye.
Thank you, Dave, for calling in to 314-436-7900. That's the Garden Hotline, and we have just a few minutes left. Last chance, lightning round coming up. Stay tuned on KMOX.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I'm Scott Jagow, and joined by Michelle Reeser-West, who is with Pointer Landscaping. We've been taking your calls for the last couple of hours. This is the last chance. If you've got a question, we still have open phone lines at 314-436-7900. It is the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis. Michelle, I did want to ask you about timelines in terms of when you're planning, when you're designing. I guess it's up to the customer to some extent as to what they're looking for, but how do you decide whether to, I mean, what is the time out you're looking at, what you want to see the landscape look like in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? How do you determine that?
It's really, I mean, there's a lot of things that are contributing factors to that. It's, you know, what kind of space do we have? What are we working with? What is like the aesthetic style that we're going for? You know, budget is always a big thing with clients. Some people, you know, have a smaller budget, so we may start with smaller plants. But yeah, so it's just about kind of figuring out what your client wants and what we can do with that information.
All right, let's get back to the phone. Scott, you are up next on the Garden Hotline.
Yes, good morning. I planted 2 Japanese holly shrubs early in the spring. I just wondered if there's anything I need to do with them over the wintertime. They're about 3.5 foot tall.
Hollies can struggle here for us in the wintertime. They do get a lot of winter damage from the cold temps, and mostly from wind or wind chill factor. So again, keeping them watered is a good thing. If they get dried out, then they'll lose some of that water from the leaves, and then the leaves can get some winter damage. Planting hollies in a protected area where they can have a little bit of protection from wind can help, but it sounds like you've already planted it. So there are things like anti-transparents that you can spray on the leaf, like I think it's called like wilt proof. that you could buy at a nursery that you can spray on those broadleaf evergreens that are newly planted. And we do sometimes do that on hollies because they do struggle a little bit through the winter, especially when they're newly planted. But I think since you have planted that in the spring and it's had, you know, several months to get rooted in, and we're staying pretty wet right now, hopefully you'll be okay. But just that moisture is a big thing, keeping them wet.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the phone call. We've got a couple minutes left. It's 314-436-7900. Michelle, do you like going to the Garden Glow at Missouri Botanical Garden?
I do. I actually really recommend it for, you know, if you have family in town or if you're looking at something to do with the kids. It's, you know, like it's a great way to experience the garden during the wintertime. So it's really beautiful. Actually, I haven't gone in a couple of years and was thinking about going this year, but it's going on right now. I think it would be a great thing. Even, I don't know if it closes in the snow or in inclement weather, but man, would it be beautiful if there was a blanket of snow on the ground and walking through that garden tonight? That would be amazing.
Yeah, and they also have the Holiday Flower and Train Show, which goes all the way. It's during the Garden Glow, but it's I think it's 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., so that's part of the early hours. And then, of course, the glow is at night. But, yeah, that would be cool to see it with snow. Let's take one more call here. Sherry, you're on the garden hotline.
Yes, hi. I'm late doing it, but I flipped my grass, my turf over, trying to make a garden bed just like 3 days ago. What should I be doing now in preparation for spring?
In the garden bed that you turned over?
Yeah, it's still grass in chunks of it, so I've been shaking off pieces of the grass. And should I just, or my neighbor was saying, just leave it as it is and just break it up and leave the grass on it. But I was just wondering, what should I do?
Yeah, you can definitely leave it as is. It will kind of break down over time. You could also do some kind of lasagna mulching, we call it, where you put some cardboard down to help kind of kill back that grass or whatever vegetation's there, and then you could put a layer of mulch over the top of that. You could also do a solarization process where you put some black plastic over the top of it, or you can just kind of leave it as is and let nature take its course until spring.
So if I put the black plastic over it, I can actually just put the seeds in that soil for this spring, whereas it'll grow.
I would take the black plastic off. If you're, depending on what kind of seed you're putting down, when you're ready to plant, you peel that black plastic off.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I knew that, but I'm talking about, so the black plastic is okay.
Yep.
Okay, and but I have cow manure. Would that be good to put down over it?
Yeah, you could definitely amend the soil with some cow manure. You can just leave it on top. You could work it in a little bit, but definitely a good organic material to put in the soil.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for the question, Sherry. We appreciate it. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. If you have landscaping needs, Pointer is a great company to go to. And as you said earlier, Michelle, get on the phone now and call for the spring, because you got to be in line.
If you wait till spring, it's definitely too late for most of your projects.
All right. Well, Michelle, we appreciate it once again, you being on the Garden Hotline. I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon.